Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, or C. Swiggle, and Kevin, and Shippy. And by the way, if you're like, hey, what happened to Michael Irvin? 115. He had to move it to 115. We'll talk to him at 115 today. Looking forward to that. So Michael Irvin, the playmaker, coming up at 1:15 right here on the show. And Kevin, we want to thank all the Tolos for being so awesome, man. Since we moved into this spot, it has been it's been fun. We've had a lot of conversations about our football teams and baseball teams and everything. Yesterday was a very emotional day for a lot of people, and I think the most promising part of it, aside from seeing 5,000 Tolos text in earlier about what they wanted my name to be, is that we saw a bunch of people say, again, that our part of the show, what we do with our show, helps them. It gives them opportunities to kind of to open up to us, to become part of the show as well. And I don't know if I could express enough to the Tolos about that. Y'all are this show. We've always made it that way, right? Like since we started the weekends, we've tried to use the fan text as interactivity. And now that we're in the middle of the day, like there's so many more than there were on Sunday mornings, but we try to get to all of them that we can. And we really appreciate what you do. Now, I know a lot of people, it was emotionally draining yesterday to do the show, understanding what the topic was. And I went home last night, and more people had more tributes. More people had opportunities to discuss things. And, Kevin, we're going to find out more information as we go along about what exactly what happened. I think they were 1,180 feet above sea level at the time. And that, like, that's why. That's why. Because that's how high the hills are there in California.
Okay.
Kobe and his daughter and the seven other passengers. The pilot. There's a lot of question about why he did what he did. He's a very meticulous pilot. He's an instructor. He's one of the best you could find. And he's very good at maneuvering the flying with the instruments alone, flying without instruments, and doing that very well. And somehow this happens. And I do wonder, Kevin, sometimes because Kobe Bryant's sitting in the helicopter and he's like, we got to get to this game. If maybe... That becomes part of the mindset of I have to do what I have to do. I have to get them there because it's high profile, right? Like this is a guy that, you know, expects the best, and I'm going to get him there. I can do this. And it stinks that something like that would happen. And it was a very tough and emotional day for a lot of people yesterday. Jimmy Kimmel. Shippy, you watched this last night, right?
Yeah, I tuned in about halfway through Jimmy Kimmel because I saw a tweet put out that was like, it was basically his kind of goodbye to Kobe. And he goes, hey, there's no studio audience, there's nothing, and we're just going to replay, you know. He said that Kobe was on his show 15 times. And so they replayed all the times that he was on the Kimmel show.
Well, this is Jimmy Kimmel's tribute to Kobe.
I can't imagine how much they are missed. This was a terrible loss for those families and for the Lakers, for Kobe's teammates, for his fans. It's just, there's no silver lining here. It's all bad. It's all sad. He was a bright light, and that's how I want to remember him. He was on the show 15 times. We had many fun and interesting conversations, and tonight we are going to share some of those to remember him. Starting with what turned out to be the last interview I got to do with him from September of last year.
The moment, Kevin, that played last night during that show, the interview that most affected me was they played, and who is it? Nick Young, Swaggy P? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. They played the moment after the game of Jeremy Lin like making his free throws, and all three of those guys talking about the celebration of Jeremy Lin making his free throws, and they won the game. We're celebrating, and they were all going nuts. And then they pan out of the video, and Jimmy and Kobe are sitting there, and he says, "All right, so would that have happened if you had been there?" And Kobe just like stared at him and looked down at his tie and never even said a word, just smiled. Because you know that's not acceptable. Your team is trash.
Right.
And you're out there partying right now because you won a basketball game. It was great to see that because that was Kobe, right? That was his mentality. That we talk about mama mentality. And that's something I do want to ask Michael Irvin later today too, Kevin.
About mama mentality?
Yeah, because Michael Irvin had that.
Oh, sure.
Didn't he?
Yes.
Like he was that kind of guy. And so it's because Kobe was able to brand it, it's great. But I do want to know the insight, the thought process of how you think in that way all the time, the work that you have to put in. Jimmy, and again, Kevin, a lot of people had shared moments. I think you've seen more and more moments coming out from people that were like, I saw one story about a boy who was passing away and at a children's hospital, and Kobe had read the story about it, went to visit, spent the evening. They ran up the stairs with the doctors and everything, spent the evening with the kid, and was just played with him all night, said, I don't want any PR there. And evidently the same thing as Dirk. Did lots of these things where I don't want PR there, I just want to be. I want to exist with them. And this kid and Kobe and his mom played all night, and the doctors were like nervous because all the bells and whistles were going off on the alarms that on all the machines that were keeping this kid alive. But the kid had the best time of his life. And when they got back in the car after they were done for hours of playing, Kobe looked at the woman and said, "What can I do to help? Is it financial? Because I'll take care of everything."
Wow.
And she said, "No, unfortunately, it's not."
God, that would have been really cool if like that was just a thing where they're like, he needs his transplant and it's, you know, $100,000. And he's like, "No problem."
Done. Well, I guess 3 weeks later, there was an email. I guess the boy had passed.
Oh.
And the mom sent an email and she said, "These are the only pictures I ever had of my son smiling." And here you go.
Yikes.
So there, just another thing, man. Just another part of that. Those are, with everything that goes into the person, there are all these stories that are starting to come out now too that are good. And this is Jimmy Fallon's story about that he shared when he met a very young Kobe Bryant.
I met Kobe when he was 17, and I was 21. He was a rookie on the Lakers, and I was just starting out in the comedy scene in L.A. We were at a party, and we didn't know anyone at the party, so we just started talking. And I said, like, "Hey, what do you do?" And he goes, "I play basketball." I go, "Where?" And he goes, "For the Lakers." I go, "Wow." He goes, "What do you do?" I go, "I'm a stand-up comic." We just got along. We hit it off, started talking. He was telling me he was into poetry, and I met his sister. She was there. And so then the guy that was having the party said, "Hey, guys, who wants to make a beer run?" And Kobe wasn't drinking. He was 17. So he goes, "I'll do it." He goes, "Jimmy, you want to come?" So I go, "Okay." So I get in the car. It's me and Kobe Bryant. And he's brand new in L.A. And me, too. I didn't know L.A. at all. And we drive down Sunset Boulevard to this place called Pink Dot. It looked like a 7-Eleven. I thought it was a 7-Eleven. You pulled in. But it wasn't a 7-Eleven. Anyway. So I go in, and I open the door, and it's locked. And the guy goes, "Sorry, I can't sell you anything." And I go, "We just want to get some beer right there." And he goes, "Yeah, I can't do that." And I go, "But just real quick, we know what it is. It's just there." And he goes, "Yeah, that's not how the way this place works. We're delivery only. We're not allowed to sell things." And I go, "Okay." And then Kobe takes out his ID and he puts it up against the glass and he goes, "I'm a Laker." And the guy opened the door and we walked out with five cases of beer and we saved the party.
Oh, sounds illegal to sell a minor alcohol.
He didn't sell it to Kobe.
Okay.
Sold it to Jimmy Fallon,
who
was
checking.
Obviously an adult at the time and had the opportunity to do that. So, but you're just partying at a party with Kobe Bryant. This is just kind of strange to be at a party like that. But so even still, Kevin
puts his ID up and goes, "I'm Kevin from the radio."
Yeah, Kevin does that all the time.
Does that mean he had the Laker ID?
He had his ID and just said, "I'm a Laker," and it said Kobe Bryant, so it confirmed that he was Kobe Bryant.
Oh, okay.
Thing is, was he 17 whenever he started in the league?
I don't believe that is accurate.
I'm not going to worry about that part. I'm just going to assume that it was true.
Okay.
Shaq also, though. Now, and somebody just
asked. This is interesting.
Somebody just asked if Michael Jordan has said anything about it yet. I haven't seen a statement from Michael Jordan
There's
yet.
Been, I think it's been on social media. I haven't seen anything where he's actually spoken, but I've seen, like, a social media. I think he did one on Sunday when it, you know, hours after the news came out.
All right. Well, Shaq is obviously the most interesting person in his life, in Kobe's life, I think, because the two of them could have done it forever, right?
Yeah.
Like, they could have been the best for 50 years if they wanted to. They were that good together, but they couldn't. And that says something about what Scottie and Michael Jordan could do, yeah, right? But Shaq and Kobe had very unique back and forth even after they stopped playing together. But this is how Shaq is doing since the news broke.
I'm not doing well. I'm sick. I'm just getting over the death of my sister. When I found out this news, I was downstairs working out with Shakir, and my other son, Greg, showed me the TMZ clip. And I yelled at Greg, "Say, yo, man, get that shit out of my face. Just get it out of my face," because you know how the internet hoax and all that. You know, I figured somebody was just playing around. I didn't want to believe it. And then everybody's calling me, "Is that true? Is it true?" So I'm like, it must not be a hoax, because now the whole world knows this information. And then you get the confirmation. And sad enough, even you hear his daughters with him. I didn't do anything. I haven't eaten. I haven't slept. I'm looking at all the tapes. But I'm sick right now. And I know some idiot's going to bring up the relationship with me and Kobe had. Our relationship was that of brothers. So all the stuff that is documented between us, it was never a dislike. It's just, listen, this is what brothers do. I have a younger brother. We fight all the time. But guess what? I love him. And I love Kobe Bryant. I'm the first to say, hey, I got 4 rings, and I know I couldn't have got 3 without him. And I know I couldn't have got number 4 without D-Wade. I know these things. But, you know, sometimes when competition comes, you know, the competitive edge just, you know. So I'm glad we became closer. But I just sit back and say, what if? What if? And the only thing that saddens me is he's not going to be here when he walks into the Hall of Fame. I was just thinking about who's he going to call up to bring him in? Who's going to give a speech? Is he going to call me? Is he going to call Mike? Who? Now? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, look, I don't really know what to say about that, because I don't feel like that statement was 100% truthful. Like, I understand he's very sad, and I thought he had some lovely things to say about Kobe Bryant, but I think definitely in the midst of that, there was some rewriting of the history between them we might just have to get into that at another time. But I think the idea that those two didn't genuinely dislike each other at one point is, I think that's some revisionist history right there. But he does sound legitimately crushed. And then when you factor in, because I'm sure they had plenty of time to repair their relationship and everything.
And I was going to say, like, that's from the big podcast. And he does at another point, you know, bring up the fact, like, that they mended their relationship, and that they worked on it, and it wasn't in that clip.
Now that I 100% buy.
And he even brings up, he goes, "I'm texting other teammates that I've ever had problems with," and he brought one up specifically. I can't remember who it was, but he says, I called him the other day, and I said, "Look, I know we had our differences in the past. Let's settle that."
That's a great idea.
Because life is short.
And that's a great idea, and I feel particularly bad for him as well, because, you know, he just mentioned his sister, too, so golly, like, you know, death is hard enough, but when it starts stacking up, I don't know exactly the best way to deal with that. That sounds exceedingly difficult. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Zeke says that Dak will get paid because he is the Cowboys' leader. Does being the leader mean anything to you, or do you just want what?
We might have another breaking story.
What happened?
Up. We'll have to talk about what went down with Ed Belfour.
Ed Belfour, our buddy?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, in the meantime, I'll give you the opportunity to win $1,000, as we definitely will have things to discuss. Text PLAY right now to 72881. That's PLAY to 72881 right now for your opportunity to win $1,000 as part of our national contest. Coming up next, maybe Zeke, maybe Dak, or maybe breaking news about Ed Belfour, which I take it is probably not super awesome. We'll talk about all that next right here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, otherwise known as C. Swiggle. Because I had to change my name thanks Squigs. To the Tolos. Thank you very much for being what you are, Tolos. And that is Turn It On, Leave It On listeners. We got Kevin Hagelin and Shippy in studio today. And, man, real quickly, I guess we got to get to this. This is news to me, Kevin. I saw it on 105.3thefan.com. You can go check out the story right now. Ed Belfour arrested Tuesday morning at a hotel bar in Bowling Green. That was this morning. After he caused damage to the property and was, quote, manifestly under the influence of alcohol to a point where he was a danger to himself and others.
Oh, dear.
According to the report, officers responded to the Kentucky Grand Hotel and Spa after receiving a complaint of a drunk and disorderly subject. They discovered a man later identified as Belfour laying on the floor, clutching a curtain rod that had been ripped out of the drywall above a window next to him. The subject was kicking the spa door while he was laying on the ground. They said he had slow slurred speech and bloodshot eyes.
Look, yeah. I like Ed Belfour, not just for his, oh my God, dude, have you seen his mugshot?
The smiling?
Yeah, he looks like a psycho in that mugshot. Look, somebody needs
to. He was charged with third degree criminal mischief and alcohol intoxication in a public place.
Somebody needs to get him some alcohol help too, because like we had him on at Fanniversary and he was super awesome. He was super awesome with all the Tolos. But I mean, obviously you can go back to that bit where he offered someone $1 billion, which I still think is
the
most.
You think that's the greatest thing ever?
I think that's hilarious. Like, I will give you $1 billion, not even $1 million, $1 billion. Like, what kind of money do you have to just get out of an alcohol related thing for $1 billion? You might have all the money that's ever existed in the history of the world. Like, you're a Rockefeller or something. So yeah, he's clearly has issues with alcohol that remain. Like, if you're so trash, you offer someone $1 billion, and then later on, he also had another incident where he was charged with disorderly intoxication and resisting an officer, and now he's so drunk at the hotel, he's a danger to himself. Like, he has a problem. This is at least the third time he has had a publicly known arrest for issues with alcohol. He has a problem.
Yeah, and I for some reason thought that I was informed that he was sober and that he didn't drink anymore, but he started a whiskey company. And so that's probably, right, that's Belfort whiskey.
Yeah, and I actually just saw him. I'm good friends with his son, Dane, and Dane was out probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I looked down at the, down the bar, and there was Ed Belfort just hanging out. And that was actually the same day that he had been up here earlier at the radio station to do an interview.
Okay, so again, Kevin, you're right. I hope he can get whatever help he needs. But that's not a good feeling for him. And somebody did say, doesn't he own a distillery now? Good luck. So yeah, you're probably right. If he owned a distillery, how would he ever not have a bottle?
He needs to sell it. Like I'm not kidding about this. Like if you have a problem with alcohol, you need to get out of that business.
You can go check out the story 1053thefan.com right now. If you want to see, like Kevin said, the picture, the mugshot, and everything else that's going on there.
So I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on something. So Ezekiel Elliott over the weekend, he was on Good Morning Football, and he said Dak's our leader. He's the heart and soul of our team. He's going to get his money. All right. So Autoflex Leasing Fantex, 877-881-1053. Obviously, you guys feel free to weigh in, but I want to get your thoughts, especially Corey, is do you factor in, and if so, how much monetarily is leadership worth? You know, because Ezekiel Elliott is saying like, well, he's going to get his money because he's our leader. And how many people are like, he is the leader. He needs to get paid. Or how many fans are like, I need someone who can make all the passes. I don't care if you're a good leader or not. Like Aaron Rodgers sounds like the worst leader in the world, but he can make all the passes. And Dak might be one of the best leaders, but can he make all the passes? So like, how much do you factor in leadership to the contract negotiations?
Man, that's interesting because I think it comes down to what your philosophy on paying people is, right? Like every company has a different reason for paying somebody, and every team,
sure,
every owner has a different reason for paying their quarterback. Most of the reason that they pay their quarterback is because they aren't in position to go draft another one that might even be as good as this one, right? Matt Stafford, best possible option. We spent a first round pick on him. We spent a top pick on him. So we got to pay the guy, even if we can't put the team around him or the coaching staff in place to win with him. We got to pay this guy. Otherwise, we're going to lose him. And then what situation are we in? Ben Roethlisberger has a unique leadership qualities there where it's not really even that good. Lamar Jackson, everybody on his team loves him because they all think that, like, I would hate to try to tackle that guy. So,
sure.
So each, I think every single one of the teams look at leadership as one of the top things, but arm talent is gotta be number one. So my biggest problem with the leadership thing from Zeke is then why didn't you play better this year? And I think that question can be, maybe the locker room was about to be divided defensively, offensively, because the offense did a lot of good things. And Dak was at the helm of a lot of good things this year. And the defense couldn't hold up whatever it was that they needed to. Well, then sometimes the offense let the defense down. I mean, losing, what, 12-10?
Yes.
In New
Saints
Orleans
game is, for every time everyone would tell me how great this offense was, all I would think about was that Saints game. And I was like, then why didn't you win that game?
Being bad against the Jets, who, by the way, the Jets did finish 8-8. It was an 8-8 or 7-9 this year.
Oh, I was going to say, did they?
Yeah, go look at their record. They were as good as the Cowboys this year.
Okay.
Yeah, they were 7-9.
7-9. So same record as the Cowboys, Kevin.
No.
Yeah, pretty much.
No.
Yeah.
We had an 8-8 record.
Okay. All right. It's that big of a difference in today's NFL.
Whoa.
But so they were essentially the Jets this year. But they couldn't score against the Jets. The offense couldn't put up the points that they needed to. But that defense, there were times when you're just like, man, can you get off the field so the offense can get the ball and do something with it? Not let them get 3 points so the offense has to go do it again? But if Zeke's saying that's our leader, that's great. And I know they're all saying that because they want their dude to get paid. But whenever it comes to that, then why weren't y'all better?
Ha ha. See, now, because the first thing I saw from the 214, it's not necessarily about the money. It's about the heart. And Dak has the heart to be the leader of the Cowboys to make things happen. But then you see all of the rest of it from the 214. Wow. Leading you to 8-8. No, thanks. From the 972, forget leadership, pay talent, and stop making decisions out of fear. The only reason they pay Dak is because they're scared to develop. From the 360, intangibles mean nothing. So please don't pay him stupid money for something that doesn't relay on the field.
Okay, real quickly, though, with being scared, I've told you this many times. Don't make your decisions running a team based on being scared. You know I've said that to you a number of times. We got in huge arguments whenever we were a weekend show about this. But with this, if Dak gets paid this offseason, it's because Mike McCarthy said he can win with the quarterback, right?
Great.
That's the only reason that Dak gets paid.
Oh, see, I don't believe that. I think the only reason Mike McCarthy got the job is because of that. And like, if you go into the job knowing that the only way you'll get this job is if you say this one thing.
All right.
Do you betray what you actually believe?
What if he believes it, though?
I mean, like, that would be great.
Look at his track record, Kevin. Like, doesn't he have a pretty good track record with quarterbacks?
He does, but you know the argument you're going to see in the fan text is Montana, Favre, Rodgers, Dak ain't that. You know, like, did he turn? I mean, he didn't turn Montana into that.
Montana was already there.
But did he turn the other ones into it, or was it inevitable? That's the thing. Because if you believe that he helped turn him into it, then great. We're going to be just fine. But if you think it's inevitable and he had little or nothing to do with their, like, becoming great, then we're in trouble.
Did you think Dak was great this year?
No.
Did you think he did things better than he's done in the first 3 years?
Yes.
Okay. You thought he was a better passer this year?
Yes.
Okay. But you didn't think he was great?
No, I just, somebody.
Has he been great in his first 4 years?
No.
Interesting.
He's been really good. But I can't ascribe great to somebody who still struggles at get. Like, the thing that I think Dak is the worst at, and this is hard to quantify because I can't give you, like, a specific statistic, but I think Dak is not good at getting the offense to step up at the most important non-fourth quarter time. You know, like, I know he's good in the fourth quarter. He's really good in the fourth quarter. But there are times
when the drives in the middle of the second quarter,
where the game feels like it hangs in the balance, whether it's because your defense just got a turnover and we couldn't score a touchdown, or the defense gave up a touchdown and you can't get any points back out of that. I feel like he is not good at that.
Okay. All right. And I don't question that. And I do wonder if McCarthy can help change that. If a little organization and what they're doing offensively, the same voice in Kellen Moore, and we'll get to some more Kellen Moore stuff tomorrow. But I wonder if a little organization in what they're doing is a little different, maybe a new voice of that can help him out this year. But no, listen, man, I've kind of given up on the idea of trying to deal with Dak's money at all, because whenever the contract negotiation, I don't know what Jerry Jones is. It seems like he wants to pay guys.
Yes.
Like, it just seems like he's like, yes, let's just pay you guys. Hey, man, y'all. But he also expects that when he pays you, that you're going to live up to it. Like, and that's the problem, is that he's almost too trusting in that. That once I pay you, and it was the idea of once they put the star on their helmet, they're going to be elite because they were Cowboys at that point. But he wants to believe that. And the organization wants to believe that being a Dallas Cowboy makes that much of a difference to a player.
Then you're going to fall into the exact same trap that Notre Dame has, that Texas has, when you realize that your brand doesn't carry as much weight as it used to. You know, like, there was this thought that, well, everybody will want to come to Notre Dame because they always used to want to come to Notre Dame. Or every coach will want to come to Texas because they used to want to come to Texas. Like, there are some times when a brand expires. Like, the Notre Dame brand has expired in terms of the importance it carried. The Texas brand has expired in terms of the importance that it carried. Could it be renewed? Sure.
I don't think the Cowboys brand has expired, though.
I think
there are people that are sucking from it. Does that make sense? They're blood sucking it. They're bloodletting it.
Okay.
Because they're using it for their own.
And see, and that's the issue. So
rather than contributing to it.
So then if the Cowboys brand hasn't expired, but the certain appeals of it have expired, then that's problematic. The other issue I think you're going to run into with this contract extension that I'm really concerned about is there's no question by every conceivable way you could imagine it, Dak outplayed his rookie contract, right?
Yeah.
Well, then you got to pay him. No, you don't. You don't pay for past performances. We talk about that time and again. I am here to tell you, I don't care how much you don't like Dak Prescott. There can be no dispute that he outperformed his rookie contract by a mile. But that does not mean you factored into the new contract. If you think Dak Prescott deserves $31 million, then that needs to be your line. You can't be 36 because, well, he was $5 million better than his contract. No. No, no. And that's what I'm afraid they're going to do.
A lot of people are furious with you about your Notre Dame take, Kevin, that that brand has expired.
I mean, if you don't think the Notre Dame brand has expired in terms of getting players to go there, I don't know what to tell you besides look at the recruiting rankings and your TV ratings. Like, is Notre Dame still one of the marquee franchises in college football? Fine. You can make that argument. They're top 10 or 15. I don't argue with that. But they made their name off of, you will go to Notre Dame because we're Notre Dame. That doesn't happen anymore. That doesn't happen with a lot of schools anymore.
Wow, man.
And for my school, it never happened. All right, look, are you happy? If that's what you're saying, if you're like, well, what did A&M? Fine, I'll admit to you, A&M never had that cachet. If that's what you want to hear, will that make you feel better? We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Super Bowl Soup, the worst media day joke ever, plus an update on the death of Mr. Peanut. We'll give all that to you next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it is time. Kevin, the big game is coming up, so it is time for some big game gumbo, as we all like to call it.
Yeah.
It's that time of year, Kevin, where we got to figure out exactly what to put our money on in this big game that's coming up on Sunday.
All right. I mean, you can still say the Super Bowl.
I'm just trying to be safe with it.
Trying to get us fined?
Yeah, because the boss said, look, man, you can't say it. And so I just want to be smart and safe.
I want to know if this is the worst Super Bowl joke ever. Now, Shippy, you might enjoy this.
I probably will.
There was a television reporter who dressed up like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
Walked around the entire first part of Media Day to just dressed up like Dorothy from Wizard of Oz. Found Patrick Mahomes and said, quote, hey, Patrick, would you say there's no place like Mahomes?
I did like that.
I don't like that at all.
He smiled and politely nodded and said, yeah, I would say so. And that was it. That was the entire payoff to that bit.
Oh, that's it?
Would you say there's no place like Mahomes?
So here's the thing is the setup and the inflection of your voice is important too. So I wonder if that's why it fell a little flat. Based on his response.
Yeah, man, you understand that.
All right.
Well, voice acting is very important.
Let's replay this. Hey, Patrick. So, would you say there's no place like Mahomes?
It's way better.
No, it's not, Shippy.
That is.
Don't let this take place.
All right, I might be in town.
During that Big Game good. Gumbo. Dude. From the 469, the super big game.
Come on, people. What are you freaking doing right now? All right, I want you to
can
know.
Can you tell that joke again?
Nope.
Perhaps.
I'm ready.
All right, are you familiar with the obvious fake named Mike Person?
No.
What?
So Mike Person is an offensive lineman for the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, this is
Mike Person?
Mike Person. Like, come on. What are we doing? So check this out. Mike Person plays for the San Francisco 49ers. But here's the more important thing. because he's going to the Super Bowl, and he had a very generic quote of, yeah, this feels pretty good. All right, awesome. Here's why it's particularly important to the obviously fake-named Mike Person. In 2012, he played for the 49ers. In 2013, he played for the Seahawks. And in 2016, he played for the Falcons. Do you know what those three teams have in common?
They all went to the Super Bowl.
They all went to the Super Bowl, and he was cut by all three of them before they made it to the Super Bowl.
Did they all lose?
No, the okay. Seahawks won.
All right.
That is, yes, that was the one that the Seahawks won. So, yes, he has been cut by three Super Bowl teams before.
Jerry Jones, get this guy.
Yes.
And cut him.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's there now.
But I understand that, like, cutting him also helps.
That's true. He's only made it to one Super Bowl. He's been cut from three Super Bowl teams. So there's a 75% better chance that you make it. Or, I mean, I guess a 300% better chance that you make it if you get him on the team and cut him.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
What about the Dak fact that he's... Person, who says no?
Yeah. Cowboys sign Person. Like, that's going to be a great headline. You don't want to sign a Person? You should. All right. Are you ready for a Super Bowl trivia quiz? That only has one question.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A lot of pressure. How many Super Bowls in the history
None.
Of Super Bowls have been decided by less than 3 points?
Oh.
I advise you to rethink your answer.
Six.
One.
One.
I was closer when I said none.
That's true.
Yeah.
One Super Bowl ever has been decided by less than 3 points.
Less than three, so most of them are blowouts?
Now, that's interesting. I'm going to get to that in just a second because I was doing some research about this.
What is a blowout in that game? It's a Super Bowl, so what's a blowout?
Double digits.
All right.
So the
A touchdown and a field goal is a blowout?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. Right. For the Super Bowl?
Okay.
That's what I'm going to go with.
All right.
So the only Super Bowl that was decided by less than 3 points was Super Bowl 25, Scott Norwood game. That's all that game's known for.
That was the one game I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, it's got to be that game.
The Giants beat the Bills 20-19. Now, check this out. The first 35 Super Bowls, only two were decided by 3 points or less. And that was Super Bowl 25 and Super Bowl 5, which is the first Super Bowl the Cowboys were in that they lost to the Colts. That's it.
Hold on, but you just said...
I said less than 3 points.
Okay, 3 points or less. Yes. Gotcha. All right.
So in the first 35 Super Bowls, only two were decided by 3 points or less. In the last 18, five of them have been decided by 3 points or less. So think about that. 35 years of the Super Bowl, only twice was it within a field goal. In the last 18, it's happened five times, four of which were with Captain Field Goal. So in case you ever wondered why I call him Captain Field Goal, that's why Tom Brady is Captain Field Goal. How Jeez. Crazy is that, though? 35 years, you got an ultra-close game twice. In the last 18 years, five times. And that doesn't even factor in the overtime game.
Dude, what about 69? In 1969, the score was 16-7. That's a good one.
Is that the...
or is that bad? That's a bad game, right?
Is that the Jets-Colts game?
Yeah.
That arguably was, well, at least for the longest time, the most famous Super Bowl. That might still be the most famous
Super Bowl. What's a good game? What's a good score to you? Because don't, like...
31-24.
That's Denver Broncos in 98.
Against the Packers?
Yep.
31-24.
And that's not a very common kind of score. 27-23.
That's a good one.
Cardinals-Steelers.
That was a great game.
31-25, Packers-Steelers.
I remember that being
34-31, Steelers-Ravens. Or, no, I'm sorry, Ravens-Niners.
And so, do you notice the trend? Like, because my son asked me, and I don't know if this has come up with your kids, Corey, is he goes, so is the Super Bowl just always close? And I laughed.
Not really.
Because... The history of the Super Bowl says no. Like, as of late, yeah, it's been really close.
41-33, Eagles over Patriots.
But, okay.
You know, that one still was close, though.
But think about the Super Bowl.
It's just high scoring.
after the Bengals 49ers game. That was an all-time great Super Bowl in Super Bowl 16, the first time they played. After that, Redskins win by 10. After that, Raiders win by 29. After that, 49ers win by 22. After that, Bears by 36. Then Giants by 19. Redskins by 32. 49ers by 4. 49ers by 45. Giants by 1. Redskins by 13. Cowboys by 35. Cowboys by 17. 49ers by 23. So, like, for this giant chunk of the Super Bowl, the games have been uninteresting and blowouts. But now they've been super close. So that's been a big shift in the history of the Super Bowl. And we mentioned George Kittle earlier. He said that he has been playing with a torn labrum for the last 2 years. So that's pretty impressive. First of all, I didn't even know men had that. But also that he's been able to play through that for the last 2 years is pretty darn impressive. Also, Travis Kelce and George Kittle, first time in the history of the Super Bowl that two non-wide receivers have 1,000-plus yard seasons.
The labrum is the cup-shaped rim of cartilage that lines and reinforces the ball and socket joint of the shoulder.
Ah, that is not where I thought it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was significantly lower. Guys, if Pat Mahomes wins the Super Bowl, he will be the second youngest quarterback ever to win the Super Bowl. Do you know who the youngest is?
Tom Brady.
Nope.
Russell Wilson.
Nope.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes. Ben Roethlisberger was 23 years old and 320 days when he won the Super Bowl. Pat Mahomes, 24 years old, 138 days. He's already the fifth youngest to start the Super Bowl. He would be the second youngest to win the Super Bowl if he gets the job done. Are you reading the fan text? I've avoided the fan text so I can continue this segment. Do you want to know something weird? Did you think that did you ever think that these words would be in the same sentence?
You have a hip labrum also, I'm being told.
That is closer to where I originally thought the labrum was.
Back to you.
We're going to get talked to after this segment.
When is Labrum Day?
So, it's in September. So, the death of Mr. Peanut and the advertising strategy around it is being altered because of the actual real death of Kobe Bryant. This is an actual thing that's happening in the world. All right, so this is a weird thing, but it's happening right now. So, planters killed off Mr. Peanut in a fiery explosion. But because of the death of Kobe Bryant, they're easing back on their social media advertising this week, and they are not showing that commercial anymore, where a fictitious animated peanut dies because of the death of Kobe Bryant, which is fascinating to me. And I do really wonder, would people see that commercial and then they would be upset about the Kobe thing because of a peanut dying? But apparently they have decided not a good idea. So they are still going to air, and I swear this is a real thing, they are still going to air a 30-second ad in the third quarter of the Super Bowl on Sunday, which is the funeral for Mr. Peanut.
Is he going to come back to life?
I don't know. I have not seen this commercial yet. But yes, in case you were wondering why they did that, they're going to air a 30-second commercial in the third quarter of the funeral of Mr. Peanut.
Wow.
That's a thing that is actually going to happen at the Super Bowl.
It makes sense, man. The people connect those things. I understand it. It does seem like a hypersensitivity, but Kevin, where are we?
Oh, no, I get it. I'm still just thrown off by the funeral. And by the way, Jimmy...
For a peanut?
Yeah.
It's called my belly. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
I eat peanuts.
And finally, for you, we can definitely use that as a drop. Jimmy Garoppolo said that Tom Brady sent him a good luck text ahead of the Super Bowl. Yeah, he shot me a text, just good luck and everything like that. And, you know, just go handle your business. You know, wasn't anything too complicated. Just go win. Jimmy Garoppolo with a great quote right there.
Man, hey, real quick, though, about Mr. Peanut and that whole thing. He was, at the end, he was really just a shell of himself, so.
Was he assaulted?
What the hell are you two doing right now?
Bits.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for sending me into this transition. Coming up next, will the death of Kobe Bryant overshadow the hype of the Super Bowl? How do you feel about yourself now, Corey? We'll talk about that next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.